But the fundamental question of God here is, of course, there's something happening on Monday. Is that right? What is that? A test. Really? You guys are kind of a little stressed about that. Why? Man, easy as pie, man. 3.1415. Yeah, never mind. Wrong pie, right? So the question is how best to review it. You know, when we left on Wednesday, there was some uncertainty about doing this on Sunday. Although the people that I got some uncertainty about on Sunday came back to me later and said Sunday would be okay. I really would prefer to do it on Sunday. It depends on, you know, the suggestion I think was for later in the afternoon, say 4 or 5. Would that be okay? 4 would be much better? 5 would be much better? 4? 4? Yeah. Is there anybody here who can't? Can you make it at 4? Okay. Is there anybody that can't make it at 4? What's going on with you? Oh, there's more than one? What is it?
Drum Corps.
Drum Corps. Oh, you're in Drum Corps? How long does that last? Till when? Till 5? Well, why do I do this? I mean, I could take a couple hours. Why don't I just... I'll do it... What? Oh, that wouldn't be too tragic? Because I don't want you guys to get out of rhythm. I wouldn't want you to get drummed out of the drum corps. Any more bad jokes coming up? Come on, folks. I'm recording this. You're going to hear a laugh track unless you start laughing louder. Sorry. Everything fine? 4? 4? You don't mind 4? 4? I would prefer not, actually. I think what we're dealing with is some non-traditional students who have issues with families and stuff, and later is better. Are you a non? Do you have family here? Yeah. No. Okay. All right. So, if 4 would be best, I think, if you don't mind. Now, if you cannot make it, come and see me, and who knows, we might try something else. But 4 o'clock it is, and but I think what I'm going to do is. Maybe quickly go through where we're going to start and stop and maybe just get a glancing blow at it, and then we'll answer. So I need for you to, when you come, to have specific questions about what we're going to cover. Now, let's review exactly where this test end. Where did the other test end? This is test number what? 2. Yeah, we are going to cover a lot of material with this. I don't know if I have test number 1 here, but does anybody in their notes have an idea where we ended test number 1 at? Let's see here. Well, we were in second chapter, weren't we? Did we finish all of second chapter? I think there was a little bit. I think the end, there's that second, this section, 6 and 7. Octet rule, for example, here you see that. The octet rule. Octet, ion formation, isoelectronic using octet rule. I think what we're going to do is, I think we'll just arbitrarily start here with section 2.6, shall we? So the test shall begin on section 2.6 in the PowerPoint handout. Section 2.6. And so that's chapter 2, section. So then it contains then all of 3, and then chapter, let's see here, section what of 4. Now let me go and get back here to 4 and see where we are with 4. Open recent, and there should be a 4. Student. Did we? No, are we still in 3? We started 4, didn't we? I wonder why I don't have 4 here. All right, let me go here. No. Doink. Right there. Let me go over here. Then I go down here. And there's lecture four right there. And we open that. And so we had gotten as far as... Oh, this is the same thing. We've gotten as far as... Let's see here. Oh, yeah. We had gotten as far as... Oh, we got the solubilities. You'll be responsible for that, certainly. Being able to write chemically, the law of conservation of matter. Balancing, you have to know. And calculations using conversion factors. All right, so we're basically going to stop. We're going to stop right. What's the question? Do you understand why? See that jumping? Isn't that bizarre? That's just bizarre. All right, we will not include theoretical and percent yield. So we'll stop on this one, sample calculations. Okay. Now, what we're going to do now is, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to do another practice problem. And so you need to write this down because I absolutely guarantee you there's going to be this kind of problem on the test and it's going to be worth 10 points. Right? It's going to be the biggest, it's going to be the 500-pound gorilla in the room when we do this. So, it's nice to know exactly what's going to be on the test, and I can tell you that this is the one thing I know is going to be on the test. And this is a calculation using all the knowledge we've accumulated so far about balanced chemical equations. So, here's the question. Let's see here. Let me get an equation in my mind. Okay. How many grams of Al2SO4 3 are produced when, let's make it 250 grams of aluminum hydroxide, 250 aluminum hydroxide react with sufficient sulfuric acid H2SO4 to completely. I don't want to make this any more complicated than it is. How many grams of aluminum sulfate are produced when 250 grams react with sufficient sulfuric acid? Okay, just drop it right there. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to show you the equation. So I give you a question like this, and then I give you an equation. And the equation is going to look like this. AlOH3 plus H2SO4 yields... Al2SO4 3 plus H2O. This is an acid-base reaction. That's okay. Now, that is the kind of question you're going to get. So, what do we know here? What do we know? What do we know? What is the compound we know? Right, and so we have 250 grams here. Now, what are we looking for? What is the unknown? Aluminum sulfide. Yeah. So I'm just going to arbitrarily put a question mark there. So this helps me guide my thinking. I know what I have, and I know what I'm looking for. Now we go through those four steps. This is the classic four-step process. Do you remember step zero? Balance equation. What was step one then? Grams to moles. What was step two? Moles to moles. What's step three? Moles to grams. You have to remember this. I'm not going to give it to you again. And you will be having, I'll give you a periodic chart. And so that's not going to be a problem. So the first thing we're going to do is, I'm going to do it over here. The zero step, we're going to say balance. All right, so let's balance this. How many aluminum are over here? One. How many over here? Two. So what do we do? Two here. All right? And let's take a look at the sulfurs. How many sulfurs here? One. How many over here? There's three. Right? Three. So how many do we need to put in front of here? Three. All right. And so let's see here. Let's take a look at the oxygen next. Total for the reactant side. There's two of these whole units, and each of these whole units have how many oxygens? So 2 times 3 is how many? There's 6 O here, plus how many oxygen are here? 3 times 4 is what? 12 oxygen, and that gives us a total of 18 oxygen. I'm putting quotes around there so it doesn't look like 60, 120, and 180. Now, can we get 18 oxygens over here? Let's see, we began here, so immediately there's a 1 understood to be here. 3 times 4 is how many? 12. So there's 12 oxygen here. In order to make it 18, how many of these do I have to have? Let's put a 6 in here and hope for the best. So we have that balanced. We'll leave that there. We have to balance one more element. What element is that? Hydrogen. So how many hydrogens do we have here? Six hydrogens here. How many hydrogens do I have here? 6 hydrogens here. And there's no hydrogen here, but how many hydrogens do I have here? 12. 6 and 6 is 12. So we've balanced the chemical equation. Is that right? Yeah. So notice what the ratio is. We have 2 to 3 to 1 to 6. But what we really only care about is the 2 to 1. Okay. All right, well, let's figure out how many moles. So that's the balance. Step 1 then is what? No. Grams to moles. I get all confused even at my, because of my advanced age. Grams to moles. And so, but grams to moles of what? This? Of the sulfuric acid? Of this? No, the only thing we know, and which is what? This. So how do we calculate that? Well, we go 250 grams over 1 times, that triangle, we're converting grams to moles. I have to multiply this by the what? Molar mass, 1 over the molar mass. So the molar mass here for aluminum hydroxide. How do I figure that out? There's no aluminum hydroxide on the periodic chart. How do I get that? Yeah, periodic table. So I have 2 aluminums, which means I have 2 times what? Is that 27 or 26? Yeah, it rounds up to 27. We can call it 27.0. Let's make it 3 digits. All right, and then we have how many oxygens? Now notice, I'm doing this wrong, actually. I'm actually doing this wrong because I'm stupidly thinking at this. There's not 2 aluminums. In this compound, there's only 1 aluminum and these things right here. Is that correct? We do not take into account the 2. When we calculate the molar mass, we ignore the 2. That 2 and the 1 come in here at step 2, where it goes moles to moles. So we only have 1 aluminum. Okay? Put a 1 there. So how many oxygens do we have in aluminum hydroxide? How many oxygens do we have in aluminum hydroxide? 3. So it's going to be 3 times what? 16. How many hydrogens do we have in aluminum hydroxide? 3. So it's going to be the hydrogen there. It's going to be 3 times 1.0. Oh, and we're going to get 27.0. We're going to get 48.0. And we're going to get a 3.0. We add all this up. 7 and 8 is 15, plus 3 is an 8. Carry a 1. That is going to be a 78 grams per mole. You agree? Is that up correctly, 78 grams per mole? Can I erase this now? Okay, no, it's fine. Yes.
On the test, can you
Oh, yes, I'm going to provide one for you. That's right. It's going to be the size of a postage stamp, so you're going to need a magnifier. No, I'm teasing. No, it'll be a nice big, it'll be a very plain one, but it'll be a periodic chart. It'll be a problem. Yes? Am I still in your way? Okay. I make a better door than a window. Is that the silliness that I would say? All right, so far, so good? Can I erase this now? Okay. Now, the next thing is, since we have, what did I say, 87? No, 70, 78 grams per mole. I take 250 divided by 78, and could someone calculate that for me? Was it? 3.20 moles of aluminum hydroxide. All right, so that's good. So now we then do 2, which is moles to moles. I'm going to run out of room here. Hope you can read my handwriting. Moles to moles means we then take into account the proportions of the periodic chart. So we have 3.20 moles of AlOH2, 3 over 1. Now we have the proportion. We have the proportion. And we know we have aluminum hydroxide as what we know we have, and we're trying to find aluminum sulfate as what we want. The question mark was aluminum sulfate. The question mark compound goes on top. Okay. But what numbers do we put here and here? What do we put on the top?
One.
The 1. Where do I get that 1 from? From the coefficient of the balanced chemical equation. That's correct. What number do I put on the bottom?
2.
Where did I get that 2 from? Again, the coefficient of the balanced chemical equation. And that will give us, so whatever half of that is, and that turns out to be 1.60 moles of Al2SO4 sub 3. Now, are we done with that?
No,
because the question was, we asked for how many grams of aluminum sulfate are produced. We got the number of moles. We now have to figure out the number of grams. Or grams. 3. So that is moles to grams. Moles to grams. So I'm going to have to move that over here, if you don't mind, over here. Moles to grams. And so we have this situation here. So we have 1.60 moles all over 1 times. Now, how many grams are there in aluminum sulfate? Well, let's see here. Now, in this case, we now know that we look at the compound itself. We have how many aluminums? 2 aluminums, that's 2 times 27. We would have how many sulfurs? 3 sulfurs, how many oxygens? 12 O's. So 2 times 27, 3 times 31, 12 times 16. So 2 times 27 is 54, 3 times that's 93. 12 times 16, I have no idea what that is. That's 160 plus 32, so
192.
Oh, is it 32? Oh, maybe it's phosphorus, it's 31. Okay, we'll call it 32. So that'd be 96. All right, sorry. What's 12 times 16? 192. I was right. So I add all this up, 4, 6, and 2, that's 12. 1 there, carry 1. 5 and 1 is 6. 6 and 9 is 15. 15 and 9 is 24. Carry 1, 2. 324, is that the number you get in your calculator? 342, yeah. 342, does that make sense? Does it look right? All right, so I multiply this 1.6 moles times what? 342 grams per mole. So could someone multiply 1.6 times 342? Thank you. 47.2. That's good enough. All right. I mean, that's four digits. We'll leave it like that. 547.2 grams or 547 grams. This would be the answer. Okay. Notice we start off with 250 grams, but he ended up producing, at least for the aluminum, 554 grams. So you're not going to get the same grams at all many times because you have different amounts. The molecules, the atoms all weigh differently. It's all good. Again, are you expecting to see one of these questions on the test? Yes. Are there going to be any surprises on it? No. Okay. So please, please, please make an effort. You'd be surprised that if you just start, what you can end up happening. Yes.
Is that on the step 2?
Step 2.
Oh,
did I put a 2 there? Yeah. Yes, it's supposed to be a 3. Maybe. I always have trouble writing down near my belt level. It's just tough to write down. At any rate, so it's Al3. Yep. Any questions about this? Yes. I will typically ask for 3 significant digits. I may ask for it explicitly, or what I will do is I'll certainly provide the number of significant digits within the context. This actually is how many significant digits right here? That's just 2. So if I wanted to make it 3, I would either put a dash over this, or I'd probably just go ahead and make it 4, 250.0, something like that. That would be 4 then, wouldn't it? Yes. Right. You can do that for all the elements except one, and that's chlorine. I would always like for you to do chlorine 35.5 for chlorine, okay? Because that 0.5, I mean, it is 35.45 something. To round up or down one to one whole digit adds a significant amount of percentage error. But all the others you can do to whole numbers. It's fine by me. Yeah. All right. Any questions? All right. Now, given the fact we have another, 20 minutes or so? No, actually, 25 minutes. And given the fact that we're going to go have a nice hour-long help session on Sunday, I'd like to go on with Chapter 4 with some new material. Okay? This will not be on the test. What we cover from now on will not be on the test. But we do need to continue. Yes?
Do you know what page number? Like, what go up to the chapter?
What page number? Can I borrow your text here? This is... Oh, okay. This is actually in the new textbook. And so we're talking... So the test would begin with page 65 in chapter 2. And would run through page 315 in chapter 10. Just teasing. Anyway. Well, that's what you think. That's a horrible joke. Speaking of really bad jokes, your teaching is not that funny either, Dr. Novak. So there. All right. Plus, I spit a lot when I talk. So, kind of like people who sit in the front have to be like, who's the guy who smashes the pumpkins? The watermelon? What's his name? Gallagher. Gallagher. Yeah. Any rate, it's just, I know. You guys ever been to a Blue Man group? Haven't been to Blue Man group? You haven't. Oh, you need to go. It's a cultural experience. This goes up to page 151 then. So you've got 90 pages. Yes.
Where are we meeting on Sunday?
We're going to meet either of two places. And I'd like for you to first go to the amphitheater. Now, I have not scheduled this or reserved it. I think there's actually something going on there. come to think of it. We're going to have to meet here. Just don't even worry about going over there. I think come here. I think there's something happening from 2 until 4. So we're going to meet here. Okay, we're going to meet here. All right. Now then, in terms... Yes?
We decided on 4.
What?
We decided on 4. That's when we're meeting. Or 5.
4.
4.
4. Okay. 4. 4 o'clock. Do I need to put that in D2L or send you an email or anything?
No.
Huh? Got it? Okay, 4 o'clock here. All right. And we'll spend an hour or so. And we'll. So you need to come having, you know, don't come unprepared. Come having looked over your notes, question marks, highlights, stuff. I don't understand about that. I understand about this. I don't understand about that. So I guarantee you that if you have a question about it, somebody else does too. All right? So come prepared, and we'll have a very effective time in reviewing. And we do need to review, because chapter 2, the end of chapter 2 was quite a while ago, wasn't it? This has been a long gap. The next two tests come pretty quickly. Okay. Matter of fact, we have a test on Monday, and then we have another test on Wednesday. Yes, over chapter... never mind. You're just going to... Yeah. I can't... I'm sure the class evaluations are going to be really unusual. He's a nice teacher, but it has the worst sense of humor ever. Worst sense of humor ever. Okay. Now, theoretical and actual yield and percent yield. For those of you who have your notes here, the red should be blanked out. Is that correct? Yes, it is. And so let's go ahead and fill that in. And look at what theoretical yield is, actual yield, and percent yield. Okay? Theoretical, actual, and percent yield. Now, this is an interesting thing here. So, theoretical yield is the maximum amount the product can be produced. It says paper and pencil yield. For example, how many grams of aluminum hydroxide did we begin with here in this particular problem? And according to our calculations, we were supposed to get how many grams of aluminum sulfate out of it? 547.2 grams. This 547.2 grams is called the what? Theoretical yield. Because it's done on paper and pencil. If everything was perfect, it would get that many. Now, are you guys perfect? No. Is there any chemist that's perfect? No. So, it's unusual to even get close to this. So, what you end up is the actual yield is the amount produced when the reaction is performed. This is what happens in the laboratory. So, for the sake of experience here, let's say I'm going to call this the A value. The B value is what you actually get. This is the actual yield. And I'm going to say you're going to get 437 grams. The actual yield is 437 grams. In other words, when you did the wet chemistry for this, that's what you got. Okay, that's what you got. Now, what's the percent yield then? What is the percent yield? Well, I don't know. Is there something filled in there in your notes? Or is it empty? There's something filled in? Actually, this thing is not even wanting to move. You know, there may be a reason why it's not moving. This thing is missing. Yes, hold on. I bet I put it all away. Yes. I had somebody distracting me this morning. I get easily distracted. Can you tell? All right, there we go. So let's put this in. It's actually percent yield is equal to the actual yield divided by the theoretical yield times 100%. That's what you have in your text, in your notes right there. Is that right? So what do we get here? So if you had an experiment that said theoretically you get 132 grams, you get 125, take this out, divide it by 100, and you get 97% yield. In this case, we have 437, right? 437 grams is the actual. And then we had 500 and what? 47.2.
547.2 grams is the theoretical.
I think I spelled it right. No, theoretical. There's no R. Theoretical. And so what I do is I take 347 divided by 547. I multiply it by 100. And what percent do I get out of that? Does anybody have any calculator that could be handy dandy? Handy dandy calculator? Anybody know what that is? I'm going to rely on this. 79.86 grams, or if you did it three digits, it would be 79.9 grams is not grams. It's just plain percent. Percent. 79.8% is the percentage yield. Percent yield. Doesn't have units of grams. The grams canceled out. Grams canceled out. Okay, so we've got to go ahead. Sample calculation. And so we're going to do this again. If the theoretical yield of iron was 30 grams and the actual yield was 25 grams, calculate the percent yield. So again, 25 grams is what you actually got. 30 grams is what you were supposed to get. You got 83% yield. Calculate the percent yield of 26.8 grams of iron were collected in the same reaction. So that means if I, instead of getting 25, I got 26.8 out of this reaction, what would be the percentage yield? How would I do it? I'd take 26.8 grams divided by 30 and multiply it by 100 to get that percentage yield. That's correct. Very good. And that's the end of chapter 5. 4. Really? Is that the last page you had in your handout? Really? Excellent. Good. Well, we're not going to go on. So what I need for you to do then, I will post chapter 5 over the weekend, and we will look that over. Let's take a look. We're now going to go back to the octet rule. What is the octet? So this is now reviewing for... We're now reviewing for the test. Is everybody ready to review for the test very quick? You probably don't have this here with you, do you?
No.
So pay attention. So I mean, so you can still learn. And I'll try to be as dynamic as I can be. The octet rule. The octet rule states what about elements? The stability of an element, like the noble gases, is due to the full complement of valence electrons, the outermost S and P. But that's pretty obvious, actually. When you look at an element like helium. I'm going to have to erase this, ladies and gentlemen. Excuse me. Does helium follow the octet rule? Someone said no. Well, it does in a way, but it's oddly enough, I've now misplaced my chalk. Here we go. What actually happens is, when you do helium, H-E, the problem with helium is, of course, that it's in the first level. Is that right? First energy level. How many electrons belong or fill the first energy level? Just two. 1s2. This is full. And full is stable. Full is stable. Right? Like when you guys have your favorite Sabbath lunch and you fill up with lasagna and peas and tossed salad and garlic bread and what else? What'd you have for dessert? Cheesecake. Oh my goodness, cheesecake. Yeah. You become very full and very stable once you lay down on the couch. Is that correct? Can people move you off the couch? No. Are you highly reactive? No, because you're fast asleep, like a snake that's just eaten an innocent rabbit.
Well, this
you'll have the, there's a question that she's looking at was figure, what was it, figure 215 and 216. If I have you fill these things up, what you're going to get is figure 216. 216 looks like this. I will give it to you. You do not need to memorize it. What page is this on? 216, page 63. It looks like this. Something along that line. That I will give you. So it's like 1s2, 2s2, 2p6, 3s2, 3p6, 4s2, 3s, 3d10, this kind of a thing. That's how it's going to work. I'll give you this as a part of the, you know, the a part of the test, as part of a resource on the test. So this is full with this. When you look then at neon, NE, it's 1s2, 2s2, 2p6. This is full again with the 2 and a 6 here, and that means it's stable. So it's the full outer shells, the full valence electron shells that make it stable. And all these noble gases, full. Full. Full with 2, full with 8, full with 18, full with 32. So the octet rule works, but not all that well. So elements and families other than noble gases are more reactive. So what do they strive to achieve? What are they trying to do? More stable configuration. What do? They change the number of electrons in the atom to result in full S and P levels. The stable electron configuration is called the... But if they lose or gain electrons to get that noble gas configuration, do they have a charge? Yes, they become ions. There you go. Exactly. Octet rule. Atoms will gain, lose, or share electrons in chemical reactions to obtain this more stable energy state. So why do you exist? Why are there bonds that hold your hair together? Why are there bonds that hold the enzymes together that enable you to move and think and live and laugh and love and be sad and be happy? What kind of... Well, that is all because these are covalent bonds that share electrons, because when they share the electrons, they move to a more what? Stable energy state. Okay? You exist because, at least in part, because you're... Atoms have created bonds that are more stable than when they were separate. All right. Metallic ions tend to form positive charged ions, metallic elements, called cations. Cations. I've also heard it called cations. It doesn't even sound right, does it? Cations and anions. It's the anion. What's missing here is this little zaggy line. But anyway, I think it starts up here, actually. Starts here between aluminum and boron. Everything to the left is all metals, so the vast majority of elements are metals, and the vast majority of elements form cations. And metals tend to lose electrons to obtain, again, a noble gas configuration. Yes?
Will we have that on our...
The ziggy-zag line?
On our...
I don't know if it is or not. Because I've got a very simple, I've got a black and white periodic chart. It'll be clear what's a metal and a non-metal. I'm not going to ask you about all these metalloids right in here. I'll try to figure out if I can find a periodic chart. I may just make one and put the Ziggy line in it. Ziggy. Ziggy, wasn't that a cartoon character one time? He still is? Did you know, have you ever seen the cartoon called Kathy?
Yeah.
Did you know, I think they stopped printing it?
No, Kathy got married.
But guess what? The last, see, quit on a Sunday. The last frame of the last Kathy, guess what? She was pregnant. She's going to have a baby. Does anybody care? No. Okay, no one cares. I every once in a while, I get some satisfaction because she was always obsessing about shopping. And so it kind of reminded me of my wife. But don't ever tell her that. Okay. So, sodium ion, of course, you can see here, it's got the neon base, and it's got one electron beyond neon in the 3s1 category, 3s1 orbital. But that one electron is very easy to lose. That's why this has a low ionization energy. And when it loses it, it has the same electron configuration as what? Neon, but it has a positive charge. Same electron configuration, neon, positive charge. All right, atoms of a group lose the same number of electrons. All right, the resulting ion has the same number of electrons as the nearest previous. All right, so that means this group right here, this first group, has how many electrons in its outer level? And therefore, when they obtain noble gas, they lose just that one. Right. What about here? How many electrons do they have in their outer level here? Two. How many do they lose? Two. And over here you lose three, but carbon doesn't make a very good ion because it either has to gain three or gain four or lose four. That's a lot of electrons to lose. So this loses three and becomes positive charge. After carbon, which almost always shares, when you get into 5, 6, 7, this kind of a thing, these all gain electrons to look like the nearest noble gas configuration. There's aluminum, again, it's got neon plus the three electrons beyond that. It loses those three electrons, has the noble gas configuration, but it's got a plus three charge. All right, isoelectronic. Someone asked me about isoelectronic. Atoms of different elements have the same electron configuration, same number of electrons. It could be that they have a different charge. Is the aluminum ion isoelectric with the neon atom? Is the aluminum ion isoelectronic? Is the aluminum ion isoelectronic with the neon atom? Okay, let me say. Does the aluminum ion have the same electrons as the neon atom? Yes. So, let's see here. Never mind. At any rate, so trying to think of a different strange analogy, but this is okay. So it just simply means that neon and aluminum ion have the same number of electrons distributed in the same way, but aluminum had to lose three electrons to get the same configuration as neon. Isoelectronic, same electron configuration. Probably a different atom, certainly a different charge. All right, nonmetallics make what? What are these called? Say anions. Anions. And so these nonmetallics are all to the right of that Ziggy line right in here, all to the right. There's not very many nonmetallics, but they are very, very powerful. They include carbon. So here's oxygen. It gains two electrons. You got helium plus six. And oxygen, when you gain those two electrons, becomes helium plus eight or has the same electron configuration as neon. Does that make sense? See? Right? Two electrons here, plus add one electron, you get fluorine. Add a second electron, you get neon. Same. So oxygen negative two and neon are isoelectronic. Does that make sense? Yes. All right. Using the octet rule, very helpful. Don't worry about the transition metals. You had to memorize those. Okay. Which of the following pairs of atoms and ions are isoelectronic? This is very important. No, you did not. But you remember I asked you to remember the ion quiz I gave you? I expect you to remember that for all this first semester. So on the test on Monday, I'm going to presume that you're familiar with what the charges are of nitrate. What's the formula for nitrate?
NH plus
3. Nitrate.
Oh,
NO3 negative. Right? NO3 negative. NO3 negative. All right. All right. Chloride, just one example. Chloride ion and argon, are they isoelectronic? Yes or no? Yes or no?
Yes.
Chlorine with a negative charge means it has the same electronic configuration as argon. All right. Summer days, argon. That's correct. That's right. What do the snow gods say to Michigan in winter? Barium. All right. Barium and snow, you see? There are no snow gods, but at any rate. Yeah.
What does it mean by having chlorine has a negative the same as argon?
Right. Wouldn't that be great if I answered a question like that? What do you mean that argon, chloride ion with a negative charge has the same, as argon? And I said, yes. Wouldn't that be helpful? No, what does it mean? Okay, so you got, what's chlorine? In the outer level, chlorine's got 7 electrons. Yeah, 7 electrons. There's the 7th right here. Argon has its outer level. It's got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. Now, chlorine has no charge normally. But if I add a negative charge to it, it now has an extra electron in the outer level. And it looks exactly like argon. Does that make sense? Okay. Yeah. All right, I figured it did. Many properties correlate with electronic structure. Atomic size, ionization energy, electron affinity. You're going to need to know the trends for atomic size and ionization energy. So right here, trends for the test. And our ionization energy, right? Trends for the test. And I think with that, you guys are pretty much whacked out for the week. I'm going to let you go. Yay. All right, so I'm going to quit a little early, and we'll continue this on, not this exact same thing, continue it on Sunday. Sunday where? Here. At what time? 4 o'clock.